Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian, always here, Brushwood.
Yeah, man, it's good to still be here and never once have not been.
Justin, eternally here, young.
That's me. I'm here. That's my catchphrase.
And the real glue that holds this together, Mr. Bryce Castillo.
That's me, the glue.
It's me. What happens when horses are no longer worth keeping alive?
I wanted to do a horse thing and I couldn't figure out how to make that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Okay. All right. Nailed it.
Bryce, when you know on the moment when to do it, that is when you will listen to Podcast Master. Gentlemen, it's great to have everybody here. And I want to talk about, you know, there's a lot of fear about like robots and, you know, the idea of like them taking our jobs and stuff, you know, but the thing is there's always going to be things that where like humans are going to be needed, like fashion design, right? You know, white collar sort of jobs or creativity. You're going to want a human to do this, like fashion design, certainly kind of these things predicting, you know, what trends are going to be, what people are going to want. You know, doing like merchandise buying and all that. And that's a thing I want everybody to relax and say, hey, there's always going, oh, wait, this just in, high-skilled white-collar work, machines can do that too. Apparently now they're taking over fashion design and buying and things like this.
I mean, is it the worst fate for mankind to realize that the only jobs left are to be the person to decide what the robots should do for us? Like,
I think if you get that job, I think it's good.
I think at every level, eventually, you know, there'll be I suspect that at every level, there will be open niches. Niches being the public's hunger for consumption of whatever the things are. I think almost everybody will be able to find some niche to tell a robot to do a thing or instruct a robot or take a robot that's like, for example, unexpected niche, GPS directions. Occasionally they go wrong. So there's a need that everybody has for the GPS to go right. And so there was bounties being offered where all you have to do is report, hey, the robot is tending to do this wrong, and or this is updated, or this street is closed, or whatever. And then money would go to that person. And so people would eventually kind of, you know, it became a gig, if not a full-time job, to report what the robots are doing wrong and make things better. I suspect that, and it's unfair, this is an unfair thing for me to say, don't ask me what those jobs will be, because by definition, I won't know, because I am imagining that whatever it is the robots are doing, there'll be some part of it that humans will wish they did better. And there will be humans who can make money helping robots do it better.
All right, I'm going to put on my labor advocate thing. Okay. I'm going to,
here we go.
Amazon Organizer, Prime Day. And I'm going to stand up for the work. So I'm going to play devil's advocate. Understand, I may have arguments against some of the points I'm going to make, but let me be the person that says this. Now, if you go look on Mechanical Turk, Amazon's, you know, Mechanical Turk is a thing that Amazon came up with to say, hey, there are a lot of things that machines can't do really well. Like if you have a receipt, but you know, object recognition or, you know, character recognition works pretty good with a receipt. But if that receipt is crumpled up, not so good. Mapping data, as Brian points out, some of this stuff, not so good. So Amazon created this thing called Mechanical Turk, where you can sit at home, you can scan receipts, you can go to look at websites and give information, feedback on sort of like, what does this do? Sum up things like this. It was trying to find places, those edge cases where humans were needed, where, you know, machines were not good enough to do these things, but we'll have humans do it. Now, the problem with Mechanical Turk, now there are a number of people who live in areas where there's not a lot of jobs, factories closed down, whatever. Maybe they have health issues and they're homebound, who do Mechanical Turk work. The problem with Mechanical Turk work is a way to make a living is it pays horribly. It pays absolutely horribly because also you're competing with people in Indonesia and other countries that have much lower standard of livings. And that's one of the fears is that, yes, there are going to be those jobs. But the problem is that, one, when you go global, you're competing with a global, you know, workforce that will do it for a lot less. And two, those jobs are fast, quickly being replaced by like that receipt. You know, we're 6 months away from somebody uploading a new crumpled receipt algorithm and that job going away. And there is the fear, I'm going to say the fear of this growing group of people, their skills don't allow them to, let's say, really participate in the economy in a meaningful way. And there are people who have skills. There are some jobs that pay you $150 an hour, $200 an hour. There's some jobs that pay you $7 an hour. And as we accelerate into the future, that you're going to get this polarity of people doing really well, the owners, and then people doing very, very, very poorly, and that this will be exacerbated by this fast-growing economy.
Justin, do you have a take on this?
Of the rise of the machines and our inability. I mean, like, because we're kind of talking about two different things, right? Like, Brian is saying that is it going to be so bad if we now move into this other class of job? And now we're not thinking of like, oh, okay, well, we need to do something. We're thinking about programming our machines to do something or spotting or making sure that maintaining these powerful industries. And I guess it is connected that like Andrew's point is then, yeah, but it will be for peanuts. We will not like it's not like we will have more money and more freedom by this. This is subjugation into, you know, and I guess that's partly the issue of like a global economy, right? Is that we're not all used to getting paid the same amount of money.
Well, a flattening out of wages is not pleasant when you used to be on the high end of that inefficient market, whatever it is. And it's pretty great, though, when you're in the bottom billion or whatever and you're making double the amount of money today. By the way, Weird Things All-Star Paul Freeland just tweeted me because I mentioned that we're live doing this. And he responded, "When robots start taking the jobs of Hearthstone streamers, we'll know we're true and well-boned."
I mean, I don't think that's far away.
I don't. And in fact, but there will open up new jobs for people to design more interesting AIs. People will realize, you know what? Watching AIs play is pretty boring. Why don't we build an AI with a really interesting personality? Oh, what if it had the personality of Dennis Rodman and Madonna or whatever and run that simulation?
I think I want to be clear, I'm way more in Brian's camp than I'm going to make myself out to be as I posit my sort of arguments here because
I'm enjoying this. I really like you trying to challenge me because I think you've done much more research on this than I have, and I think you have the better counter arguments.
I think it comes from as like I watched this. I went to the Walt Disney Museum again. I love going to the Walt Disney Museum, right? And one of the things Walt talked about was like how Walt never wanted to work for anybody. Walt hated working for other people, and Walt was always could rather work for himself. And I think that's the three of us all sort of acknowledge that. Like I'd rather live out of my car and work for myself probably than have to do what a lot of other people do. But that's a choice I've made. But also have the ability to do that through circumstance, through whatever. I've always known how to make money. I've overall, you know, there are periods when, you know, then better than other, whatever. I always known how to get by and survive. I've always been able to do that and been resourceful to that. Opportunity, gifts from nature, who you know, there may be other components to that. There are correlations between intelligence and business success, whatever, things like that. And I think the downside is that there are large groups of people that don't have the ability that we do to participate in the way we do, you know, and I think that it could come down to a number of things. And you get into things like people who have, or you just get away from like, oh, I'm so smart, but people who have, you know, health problems, things like this that are dependent upon certain kinds of jobs and stuff like that. I believe in the invisible hand, but I think the invisible hand, it's like, it can be slow, you know, and it can be very, very slow to react. But also that, you know, we do have this free enterprise and market economy has been a wonderful boon to humanity. The numbers show this. You look at the number of people that lifted out of poverty because of the market system, and you're like, ah, but this bad thing happened there. Guess what? There have been bad people in the world before, and there are after that, but absolutely it's been wonderful. That being said, as you can see, and I bring up this example, like New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, there are cities now where the economy has been super booming tremendously for many cases, but for some people, they're unable to participate and they have to move or get moved out of housing or whatever because of that. And I'm not saying it's morally right or wrong. You know, I think that like, and just saying that is a consequence.
Yeah. And I guess and when we get into the weeds on these things, almost always when you and I disagree and start arguing, it's almost always because one of us is taking the 1,000-year view and the other one's taking the 100-year view. I think you're 100% right. It's going to be ugly. Watch, progress is always ugly, and there you'll always be able to see the person who suddenly doesn't have a job, and you don't necessarily see the microscopic increase in quality of living for the rest of society that happens as a result of it. And I don't want to act like nothing should be done about those things, but in my perfect fantastical vision, let's take the Hearthstone example, right? Like right now we're seeing a burgeoning industry of Hearthstone streamers, people playing tournaments, and other people like to watch. What happens when the AIs start beating the humans? Well, number one, that's an interesting story, but at some point we get oversaturated with it and we want to start seeing a more interesting story. So now there's a niche, an opening for a more interesting story of a team of young people, mathematicians, who are trying to put together the ultimate Hearthstone AI that will crush all of it. And then that becomes the story. And then at that point, there's a bunch of those, and we're bored of that story. So now it becomes a new team of even AIs, a guy managing AIs to design another AI that does it with the most style or panache or in the most outrageous way possible or whatever. It feels like, to me, that society in general has a hunger for different types of stories. And when that hunger is unmet, it feels like energy will fill that area. And of course, this is all just in the artistic space, which is not necessarily fair because there's somebody who's like, that's a fine story, Brian, but my job was to drive this truck and now I can't drive trucks anymore. And I guess I'm speaking to my level of, or my domain of expertise, and I just am projecting or hoping that there's some analog of that can happen somewhere else.
Well, I would say that my hope is that one, people understand you've got to be in the mindset to be willing to retrain and learn something new. If you say, I don't want to learn anything new, you know, I remember watching, you know, as a kid, they talk about Detroit, you know, this assembly plants being shut down. And you talk to somebody who had like, you know, great pension, great job, everything, but their job was to pull a lever. Their job was to pull a lever. And that was it. That was all they were trained for. And then all of a sudden they lost their job. And that's like, we all have to be mindful of like, your job can come to an end any moment, any job. Nobody is safe. And I hear this be like, oh, my industry's safe because of this. Like, yeah, but all it takes is somebody to come with innovation and you need half as many people in your industry, you know? And your wages will go down because there's 50% of people in your industry looking for those jobs and whatnot. I think one is everybody has to be prepared for the idea of you got to be constantly willing to retrain and learn new things. You got to be willing to retrain and learn new things. Second thing is I'm all for using enterprise to come up with better ways to do that. I've been in love with like Udemy, Udacity, lynda.com and all these things because, man, you can pick up a lot of skills. They're super cheap and skills that have market capabilities. And, you know, my sympathy for people like, I can't find work. And they're telling me about like, they've watched the last 5 seasons of Full House on Netflix. And I'm like, have you thought about doing Udemy? I don't have time. It's like, all right, I have no sympathy for you because you're waiting for somebody else to solve the problem. In my opinion, when you're finally waiting for government to solve the problem, it's too big of a problem, in my opinion. But yeah, I agree. I think we agree. I'm just sort of coming to the point of view of like saying, how does it work at a lower level? Like, you know, when Deep Blue won chess, it's not like, chess is over now. Machines won. Nobody's going to play chess anymore.
Well, and keep in mind, and this is the last thing I'll say on this, is my hope is I can imagine, again, this is all speculation. I can imagine somebody who there's what we think is valuable about people, and then there's what turns out to be valuable about people. If you are a living person who is a member of the Greatest Generation and was there at World War II or whatever, then there might be a strong monetary value for you to spend 3 weeks answering questions from AIs and telling stories and capturing your experience, both for the actual story of your experience, but also to understand the mindset. Like, how valuable would that be to get straight from the horse's mouth what people were thinking and all of these things? That is on paper today something that is not very valuable. It's what we associate with Grandpa having his fourth Milwaukee light at Thanksgiving, and oh, here he goes again telling this story or whatever. There will be a time that will be an extremely rare and precious commodity. And what I hope is that the AIs, yes, they take all of our jobs, but they also open up a value to things that we currently find completely valueless.
I can imagine a version of the AI economy that is so growing at such a fast, incredible rate that underemployment will be a problem. I mean, there's not going to be enough people to fill jobs. I can see one version of that happen. I hope that's what happens. I find that a much preferable alternative to, you know, the universal incomes and things like that, which to me are a recipe for huge problems.
Could be.
So, yeah.
Well, you want to know what's a recipe for great solutions? Patreon.com/weirdthings. That's where you can go ahead and support our show. If you like this program, well, kick in a little scratcheroo, huh? Patreon.com/weirdthings. You can make sure that you get your custom RSS feed that delivers our after show, after things, right to the podcatcher of your choice. You using the Apple Podcast? How about the Google Play? How about one of them there fancy podcatchers that you got to pay money for, like Overcast or Castro? They all take RSS feeds, and that's what you're going to get when you go become a patron at patreon.com/weirdthings.
You know, I want a high-tech CEO was getting some criticism on Twitter and responded to that.
I know nothing of this story, and I cannot wait to hear it through all three of your lenses. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I'm talking about Magic Leap.
Oh.
And Roni Abovitz. I'm talking about that. I don't see what you're talking about. Yeah. I thought we might talk about that on After Things.
Okay.
Magic Leap has been this very hyped company. Magic Leap makes, or presumably is going to be making, these augmented reality, basically goggles, whatever. You put them on, you see your room around you, then all of a sudden things can jump out at you. Not unlike Apple has AR Kit. Google now has their own AR something something. Google has their own, what they're doing with that. So AR, augmented reality, is a big thing. Very, very big. And Microsoft HoloLens. Microsoft is the first company, I think, to come out, major company to come out with an actual product that you can buy right now. HoloLens looked super cool until we realized that you're looking through like a small little tiny window there, which does not create a persistent reality, according to some people. Magic Leap got hyped because they were supposed to have some sort of secret, sort of like better way to do this sort of thing, to prevent, you know, present these images in front of you. And then as we finally saw the hardware, we're like, this looks a lot like the other people, what they're doing, you know, with the same stuff. But they talk about, we have a light field display, we have this tech, we have this. And it's like, I've got a AR set over here that projects video in front of my eyes kind of thing. So, you know, I haven't used it. I have no idea what it's really like. But they've been, some first demos and stuff have been coming out of it. And listen, every company deserves the chance to actually show their stuff, you know, release what they're going to release and have us judge it on that, not on what tech journalists say about it. Because we've seen examples of people bemoaning stuff and turning out that, you know, it was actually way better than said. But if you type in Magic Leap demo, you get headlines like Magic Leap's disappointing demo could be bad. Extreme Tech: Magic Leap's first demo is anything but impressive. Magic Leap's long-awaited demo will ship this summer. So finally, and so they're apparently going to be shipping the demo this summer through AT&T stores. And but people who've looked at this, what said they've seen so far, the reaction's been muted at best.
Yeah. So here's the problem with Magic Leap. It was apparently like the demo to beat all demos. Like when we first started hearing about
this. 4 years ago, 5 years ago,
yeah. Something like that. And it was people loved the yeah, there was like a demo where a little elephant came out of a teacup or something like that. It has since been, you know, the CEO is a bit of a cagey fella and has, you know, kind of had this. All right, look, the product will be done when it's done. We're working on it. We're trying to figure it out. And it's gotten to the point lately where there's a lot of like, well, how much is here? They have, yeah, I mean, that's Bryce is now showing expectations versus reality where, you know, some of the this is like the expectation was there's this high definition, beautiful cresting whale erupting out of a high school gymnasium. And then what's kind of being shown that is real, that I guess will be shipped with the Magic Leap, is basically a maybe slightly more detailed Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it really does look like it. Not even Switch level graphics. Yeah.
So they rightfully got dinged for they had an amazing demo of a first person shooter game that would like erupt out of your office that now seems to be more and more just sort of vaporware. It was just a
fantasy mock-up of what might have been.
Yeah, it's
So they released this, the shoot 'em up game. Actually, like Weta helped do the VFX for that. It looked cool. Like all of a sudden things are popping all under your house, your office is this big battle zone. And then they got like people like, is this a real demo? Is this a real demo? And they're like, yeah. And then they showed like, we're going to put a camera and show you what this thing looks like. And they showed an AR robot bobbing up and down and hopping around, not unlike anybody could do now with AR kit on the iPhone. And you're like, that's not what we saw in the demo. And they're like, they're saying like, well, you have to see it through our goggles to really see. I'm like, okay, you know, like your images are kind of translucent, which tells us you're kind of doing, you know, waveguide stuff, but it's still.
Sorry, what's waveguide? Walk me through the tech side of that.
It's basically like a material where light goes through there and reflects through it. I mean, it's just a different way of sort of like using a material to reflect through it. So it's basically the waves are sort of guided through the material itself. So you could like look at like fiber optic cables and stuff, and you could put a little nick in a little bit of one and you see it glow all mm-hmm. of a sudden. Kind of like, I mean, roughly sort of basically that.
Got it.
So anyhow, what we've seen doesn't look all that different from the demos from Apple and Google. They've showed us with their AR systems using existing hardware. Now, granted, what this is, they're saying it's like, hey, no, ours are glasses. So it's a lot like a HoloLens. And then, you know, we watched this amazing demo a couple of years ago of The Office. And then when they've done these demos here, like, here's a rock monster throwing rocks at you. Like, okay, that's – and it's still a little shaky, by the way.
But also, like, I don't know and maybe this is just the marketer in me. I don't know that having a rock monster throw rocks at me while I'm in my kitchen is the most inspirational, mind-expanding, aspirational early demo of this.
Yeah, well, I think
it's like just doing the same thing over and over. It's like the same animation. There's not really even.
And it is impressive that it will track the rock through the room, and it will, you know, we saw it a second ago break against the opposite wall when you dodged it, but it's still very primitive.
You can do that now, though. The thing is that Apple's AR kit will do multiple planes, will do multiple surfaces, so you can do that. Mm-hmm. I think Google's AR, I forget what theirs is called, can do similar. So, I mean, that's the problem we're at is that where hardware like on phones and stuff is capable of doing this. Now, granted, it's not the same as putting on goggles and seeing this, but we're not that far away from where chipsets are and the capability to do that. You know, so my My concern is like, yeah, by the time it's one, here's the problem. When you say, hey, I'm gonna be a technological innovator. I'm gonna lead this. We saw this electric car companies a lot. They're like, we're gonna build the most amazing electric car, better than anybody else can do. And we're going to build it because, you know, we want to recreate the Volkswagen bug. So it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be, it'll be the car for everybody. And you saw the electric car companies kept failing because they wanted to create this mass market thing, but they're going up against a lot of people who know what the heck they're doing. And you ended up with these really slow cars with no battery life that cost way too much. Musk went in and said, no, I'm going to do what it does best. It's short range, but I'll make it go really, really fast and sell it to rich people first, to the Roadster. He did that. Then once he did that, he could scale up and make this mass thing. When you're Magic Leap, you're saying, you know, great, you got $1 billion in funding. You're going to go up against Apple and Google, who spend billions every year on software and chipsets in an industry. And that's the problem, is you're all converging on the same point. What's going to make you special?
Yeah, I guess they do have the advantage of being, you know, early adopters. And who knows? They do have the advantage of being very, very early in this. And we don't know what behind the scenes things they're working on. But we also don't know what behind the scenes things all of their future competitors are working on as well. And so,
Let me, can I posit this? Are they that early? I mean, you've seen really, really, really cool things out of Google and Apple on this front. You've already had ostensibly a breakout hit AR game in Pokemon Go. So it's like, I don't know. This isn't five years ago. Magic Leap was one of the most exciting companies to watch for me because despite the fact that they are based out of Andrew and I's hometown, it was really, really cool to think like, okay, there's this stealth thing that nobody really quite understands, and it was really, really early. Now I don't know. I considering where even like Instagram and Snapchat are with AR stuff, like I think that there's, you gotta really bring it. Like you have to really, really, really make you gotta blow the doors off to get attention in that space now. And nothing that I've seen from them has done it. And every step of like beyond the hype has been a disappointment from the form factor of the headset. Like they did these demos, these secretive demos with journalists, but they had to be plugged into like, you know, an old like cabinet computer like thing in a very specialized room. And now this stuff, it's like, I'm starting to think that the emperor has no clothes.
Well, if I'm giving a generous interpretation, or at least trying to project in the situation that they are, they knew that they had something, and they knew that this will be the future, and they knew that they had the king of tech demos, and they also knew that they needed money to fund all of this stuff, right? So it becomes the kind of thing where it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to generate hype by sharing it and having generous, positive interpretations of what this means down the road or whatever. And we are going to harvest that goodwill into getting investors and that kind of stuff. But now I think they are feeling the pains of that at some point you got to start delivering a thing. And at some point you got to start sharing it. And they're all like, well, we think we're far enough along. And it sounds like that they weren't able to keep to the schedule because in an alternate universe, the demo that they did is, we'll say, 2 years farther down the road, more cutting edge, and it really does blow everyone's mind. And they do generate a second wave of unprecedented enthusiasm on there. But it just sounds like they weren't able to get there fast enough.
The betrayal to me is that that demo seemed to – what the real promise was we've solved how this looks visually, and we've solved how this can work in terms of a power that, you know, of just having a system capable of rendering things at a certain level. And it's like, it doesn't seem that they have solved either of those problems in reality.
There's a tweet by David Chinsky. He says, shows images from all the differences. Magic Leap in 2015. Our mixed reality headsets let you fight digital space aliens and robots using real world 3D printed weapons. Magic Leap in 2016. Look, all these kids are seeing a whale in a gym. Magic Leap today. This little dude can throw rocks at you.
Accurate. And that's, accurate.
And that's the thing, is that, like, you know, we got this thing over three years ago of like, oh, wow, you guys are there because, you know, if you guys are really, if this is where you're, if this is a real, and they said, they strongly implied that was a real game, a real thing that they were doing. You know, we're led to believe that this thing was real and whatever. And then things changed, and then it's like, maybe not so much. And notice there too, it's like, we're thinking they're doing a much, much higher tech thing than just, you know, I don't know, a camera and putting video onto a screen in front of your eyes. I had heard speculation that, oh, you know, they're going to be using like LCD.
Seeing these side by side, it is inexcusable. Yeah. It is inexcusable the level of hype that they sold based on what they gave. I've been trying to be generous, but I am losing my patience with this.
And Brian, like, one thing too that's interesting too is that when we watched that demo, is objects weren't translucent. And that was one of the big things, was like, oh, wow. And if these things aren't translucent, that's going to be really cool. Cause are they using LCD shutters and stuff and doing this?
Nope.
I mean, that's like, this game that we are watching right now would be great if it was on just PC, if it was just a first person shooter. Like, it would be a really, really cool thing, let alone that you're actually like playing it in your office and all the different, I mean, like, just look at all the attention to detail of like them, the scoring of the scorching of like stuff behind you, like your the wall, your real life wall has effects on it and it's falling apart. Like, I mean, come on.
Although oh man. And what's funny is yet, even though knowing how short they've fallen from their concept video, I still maintain excitement about the ideas.
It's such a pitiful little rock monster.
It's just Bowser.
I'm going to give that one. That's a GFF, not a BFF.
Yeah.
You know, I will listen. I have a soft spot on my heart for visionaries who take a little bit longer to deliver on what they're trying to deliver. So the book is not closed on Magic Leap. I want to be on these microphones in the not too distant future and going, oh my God, I was wrong. Or holy cow, it's amazing. And I'm so glad they succeeded.
I've always rooted for them. And I will continue to root for them. And I think that if lost in all this is that it does seem like they have their tracking on the hands really good. Like, that is something that they're trying to demo, is, you know, how easily you can interface stuff without any kind of controller, which has been a problem. So that's fairly cool. But I mean, come on, man, you expectations in reality, I guess.
I'll tell you what, though. I am inspired. Like, imagine we get to a point where it's not weird that people are wearing these all day long. And imagine somebody's, let's say it's crazy enough that some artists are able to do stuff like create psychological thrillers, where it's like, you just, the rules are, live your entire day and you essentially get a they live experience where one of the people you run into, you know, has like snake eyes or something, or like it starts messing with your head, adding weird stuff. And your job is to get through your day job without melting down and try to figure out what's happening or something. I mean, there's insane things that you could do with this that would make, you know, life, if not, I don't know, more interesting.
I'll tell you, Brian, you brought this up a couple of times, that the idea of like, all right, well, when does the worm turn in terms of heads up displays and they are not these odd things? And I'll tell you what, I have had my opinion changed on that, because I initially was kind of like, well, look, if it looks stupid, it's always going to look stupid and people are going to think it's stupid and they're going to think you're stupid, and there'll be societal pressure that will make that a slow transition. But those Apple AirBuds, the AirPods, like, yeah, just looked so silly initially, but the product was good enough that people love them, and now I don't even like look twice at them. Like,
I don't mind. I'm holding up my Bose Quiet Control.
That still looks stupid.
That's fine. Don't
care. It reminded me of the horse from Walt Disney cartoons.
The like function is so good, I don't even care. It's like...
But I guess that's my point, is I'd be shocked if that became a thing. I don't mean this to say that that's good or a good or bad product, because obviously it's a good enough product that you've run through like three of them and you keep getting them.
Thank
sure.
God.
putting on his Oculus Go.
But I'm talking about like just mass like adoption that yeah. like for Brian, for your daily living, you're either the head of the household or you go to an office where you're the boss and nobody can really be like, hey, look at those dumb headphones. Like, there's not really a lot of places where you're like, oh, I gotta impress.
I'm still trying to figure out how I could still wear them on stage so I could be like full David Copperfield taking phone calls in mid performance.
I think that when the utility is there and you're like, I don't care. Like, I wear my AirPods, and it was funny. Like, I'm one of these guys, like, I'll have them in all the time, and I'm probably in the upper edge of douchiness. And it was funny as I walk into the local like CVS near me. I'm walking around and I see one other guy with them in his ears, you know, looking like me, as douchey as I am. I'm like, hey, Justin Willman, how you doing? And we're like, hey. And I'm like, we're those guys, you know. When the utility is there, like, you know, Snap came out with their spectacles, right? Which was like, we're gonna solve all the problems of the Google Glass with did not make it awkward. Like, this is really awkward. Now I can't even see the eyes of the person watching me and recording me. And it's, you know, I said before, the problem with the Snap spectacles is the camera's facing the wrong way for their yep. that audience. But I could see, you know, some big dumb things like big glasses like that were augmented reality. And it's like your phone. Like, I hang out with my friends, our phones are put away. We're like, hey, everybody, let's put on our glasses and let's have a fun tabletop game experience or go to the park. You're going to have so much fun, you won't care what other people think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like cosplay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a world where you could have like the functionality of Google Glass, which is kind of the cautionary tale of all of these kinds of conversations. But the functionality wasn't terrible. It was just not worth the cost of looking like a total idiot. All 24/7, like it just was not worth it.
Yeah, it was all Google Glass did was add another accessory to save you the trouble of reaching into your pocket. It didn't bring anything else to it that you understood. Like we can all see. I think we all agree. Like there's a point in the future where augmented reality, whether it's Magic Leap, Google Glass, or Apple, or some other company or player, or some other form, or everybody's playing, is a thing that we don't do it 24/7, but maybe large parts of the day you just sit there and put these things on and you have, you know, these kind of neat either entertainment or work experiences. I totally see that being part of the landscape.
Just even in that Google Glass demo, and if you're only listening, then you're not seeing it, but it's like, even in the demo, it's lopsided. It's just like, it's like folding, like it's just on its side, like Fred Flintstone's car when the rib gets put on it. Like, it's just so weird.
Well, and by the way, that can work if you're, what it reminds me of are those jewelers lenses where it's like, you know, you got yeah. the one monocle and you're looking down to see stuff. And in that profession, I understand you're sitting down in your workstation. That's what you're going to be. And there are, I think there was a generation of, I don't know, job specific tactical displays for like first responders or whatever. And it's like,
yeah, apparently Google Glass does live on in enterprise, that there are certain things. And what I've seen is it's for like factory workers. If you're like finding or categorizing or sorting things, you can, the fact that it's an always on way to like scan stuff is really important.
Yeah, but that's not what they pitched, and that's not where they aimed. And I think we're seeing Magic Leap do the exact same thing. Oh my god! I think that Magic Leap aimed at the wrong sector. They should talk about how useful this is going to be for this specific job and this specific niche.
Well, they, you know, they've talked about the workplace of the future environment, but everything they've done has been game based. I think that's where they want to get into. Is I'm sure they want to do enterprise, but games. I'm wearing a little. It's a device that's a little mini heads up display thing that I picked up for a project. It's kind of cool because what it can do is I can actually plug this into my iPhone if I want to turn that into a heads up display. So I'm doing that right now.
And so it just displays what's on your iPhone?
Yeah, it displays what's on. Takes my iPhone screen and puts it in front of my eye. So I realized that this thing probably should be charged in order for it to work. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's amazing. It is working. Okay. Yeah. So anyhow.
And you remain aboard.
But it's great for totally, you know, if I want to go on an airplane flight, make sure nobody talks to me.
Yeah.
So I forget. This is the Views or something like that. I think this is what it's called. The Viewfind, V-U-F-I-N-E. So anyhow, it's if you want to play around with like just doing a little mini heads up display, that's kind of a neat thing. And you can, you know, do. I got it for like $200. But gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Last we spoke on Adventure Quest.
Adventure Quest!
Is that the name? I thought it was...
I thought it was Mission Quest.
Yeah.
Mission Quest!
Previously.
This is a side game that happens in the future that I haven't told you about
oh,
yet.
Oh, got it. Well, here, let's get caught up.
Yeah, so it's been about a month. Here we go. Last time on Mission Quest.
Last time on
Mission Quest!
I think that black Escalade might have been following us all the way from San Diego.
What's your name, by the way?
Hawthorne. What you're looking at is a black comet.
Are we about to Armageddon this?
Boom! Deltaco's blown up. So you want to know about Troll? I can tell you about Troll. I can tell you why Elon Musk won't tell you about Troll.
Thank you. So good.
Stephen Crane, thank you so much for that.
It's
check
so
him out.
So good. Yeah,
so you guys were led on to a conspiracy. You're told that the world may be facing imminent demise, maybe from a comet we don't see. That's one explanation, but we're going to find out as we go deeper. We can go deeper. That's what we're going to find out as we go deeper.
Well,
that there is
what,
a deeper.
Yo, Justin, we just watched that Del Taco blow up. It exploded. Whatever this is, I'm done thinking that this is a crazy person. I think there's something to this. I'm glad we have this laptop with the password DIAC. We need to dive in on this.
I'm really, really glad you weren't in there getting soda at the time that it blew up.
Hey, me too, I guess. Not sure how that's relevant to our current adventure. Hey,
anyway, moving on. Apropos of nothing, Brian. I think that this laptop makes us a real target.
Yeah,
I
man.
Like, if people are out here blowing up Del Tacos, they're gonna want to blow us up.
I saw the Sandra Bullock vehicle, the Net. Well, I think we're marked people, and there might be a GPS tracker in here. I say we gotta get the heck out. So,
Dennis Miller. I'm Dennis Miller. You're Sandy.
Okay, that works. I think Dennis Miller dies, unfortunately.
I'm Dennis Miller. I'm Sandy.
Okay.
I don't know how I've seen the Net.
I know that we need to get the heck out of here. Do we have a vehicle? Is our car still here?
Game Master?
You guys left on foot after the last location you went to. And it's been so long, I don't even remember.
Okay, well, I think you guys were
driving off in the Escalade.
Oh, his stolen car. Or his car that we're, I guess, stealing. Or inherited, maybe we're in his
car. Oh, you got a flat tire, now you're on foot. You're in an industrial park. You have the laptop. You watch some videos, explain some of the background to you. Now you're trying to figure out what are you going to do next. Because you found out there's this conspiracy to hide what may be a giant object hurtling towards Earth that's about to wipe out everybody on there. You talk to a sad, sad, sad man who had telescopes that revealed to him what's going on, and he's given up. He doesn't think anything can be done. There's nothing can be solved.
Justin, we got to find a lead. Where do we go next?
Public.
No,
no. To the world that we have the facts.
You know what? Hold on. What if we do like a dog whistle? Let's go live because this conspiracy is big enough that we can maybe pretend like we're doing a night attack thing and drop some hints and see if maybe somebody's watching who knows something. So,
right. Hey, you guys over there, check me out. I'm a homeless dude.
All right, let's, I open up the Periscope on my phone and I say,
No, I'm literally standing in front of your car. Roll down your window.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna roll down the window while still opening Periscope.
I had a job once.
Yeah, that's nice. That's real nice, guy. If you don't mind, we're comedy people. We're gonna do a live stream.
I found out about this comet. It was gonna hit Earth.
Hang on. How do you spell being funny?
They fired me from JPL, and they said if I said anything about it, if I went online on Twitter or whatever, I'd get nuked from orbit.
Brian,
what?
Stop what you're doing right now.
But I was about to go
stop
live.
What you're doing? We should definitely stream on Twitch instead of Periscope.
Oh no, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, hold on.
They murder people over.
Let me get the.
They murder people over those.
Hobo, take your bindle on elsewhere. We're trying to live stream here.
All right, I'm gonna go on.
Oh wait,
harmonica and catch a train.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Professor Bindlestiff, are you on Twitch?
Bindlestein.
Yeah, Bindlestein.
I'm sorry for all the harsh language. We just watched a man get killed and a Del Taco exploded. There's not even any soda to be had. Don't get me started. Here's the deal. I snapped at you, and that's a apology from me. I'm sorry for yelling. What were you saying again about used to work at JPL?
Worked at JPL right up the road there. Used to work in astronomy. And then I say one day to my bosses, hey, I think there's someone heading towards Earth. They're like, shut up. I'm like, I need to tell people. I'm going to go on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Well, they didn't fire me as much as they tried to fire at me.
Wait.
With guns. Guns, I'm telling you. So I went on the run. Been a hobo ever since.
Is this just an amazing coincidence that you found us, or are we on your radar? Why did you seek us out?
I heard there might be a couple boys in trouble and I could help them out. And I started to talk like this after I lost my job.
All right. Well, if let's say theoretically we had solid proof that what you said is true, who would be the person that we would want to go to get this kind of proof to?
Yeah, and also just in case, since we're talking theoretically, let's assume that it's not here in the car with us because that would be unsafe. And then maybe if you're a bad guy, you would have power over us. Theoretically, maybe we have backed up multiple copies and you'll never find them all. But
yeah, that's the ticket. Backed up multiple copies. Yeah.
What I would do in your situation is you need to create your own parallel power structure, one that can compete with the forces after you. You want to create your own, I don't want to use the word army. Let's use a more benign term. Let's say cult.
Okay, go on.
If you had your own followers, your own team, your own security apparatus, perhaps you might stand a chance.
Man, it seems to me that if we did, maybe they could appear as individual characters in this adventure as we go through. You know what? We have a list of patrons of Weird Things over at patreon.com/weirdthings. We'll take a look and see if we can call any of them into action.
What I'm saying is I think you need to recruit people to your side by convincing them of the merits of what you have to say.
Yeah.
I've given up. No more of this for me. But hey, there's a young man over there.
Let's go.
I look over there. Who's there?
Is it Bryce?
You there, young man with the partially shaven side of your head and curly hair on the side. Listen to some. Is that EDM music? I've got a mosey on. These gentlemen have a proposition for you.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hey, listen up. Look, I don't want to freak you out. And you know how like a cult usually has some kind of doomsday scenario and maybe a charismatic
set of leaders? I wouldn't call it a cult. Say it's a self-awareness movement.
Okay.
This is how you're going to start this conversation, partner?
I'm just trying to say we're definitely not a cult. But
I kind of think all the Colts say
Brian,
that.
Brian.
By the way, my name is Jack Parsons. Look up who my roommate is. You'll be amazed.
Okay. All right.
Okay. A lot of information. Brian.
Yeah.
Come on. Focus.
Okay.
You got to go. If you're going to introduce yourself to a stranger, you have to do it in the most efficient way possible.
Okay.
Just repeat after me.
Yeah.
Hey, boss.
Hey. You know what? I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to say howdy, boss. I know it's an extra syllable, but
explore
I think it'll be worth it.
Explore the room.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just
all right.
Focus. Come on. Yeah. I need you at 100%.
Okay, no, I'm dialed in.
All right. Go.
Howdy, boss.
Hi.
Listen, do you like the world existing?
Generally, yes.
Would you like to see the world continue to exist?
Sure.
Tell him you have a problem and you want to know how he would solve it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I we need a superhero to save the day is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'd like to think of myself as someone who can solve problems.
Okay. Hypothetically, let's say we had definite information that the world was going to end because a black comet was on its way to destroy the Earth, and yet some moneyed interest figured that they'd rather keep the business continuing to business while, as far as I'm guessing, they're building a spaceship for the super elites to leave planet Earth or some nefarious crap. Remember that Taco Bell that was just behind us? They used to have sodas and tacos and the whole nine yards, and it's gone now. So that's some proof. We need a third member of our team. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, John.
John.
Joel John.
All right, listen up. Joel John.
Joel?
Joel John.
Yes, Joel John.
We need a lieutenant. You're it until you die or we find somebody better.
Oh, geez.
Hop into this Escalade.
I probably would have picked a different voice if I knew this was going to be the commitment level of this character.
Come on, Joel John.
You're like, you asked me a question.
Joel John, you can tell. I'm just a hobo. Yeah, you can tell him that's just a voice you use when you talk to strangers. You can use your regular voice if you like.
Anyway. Yep.
Joel John, it's your commitment to the bit that drew us to you.
Yeah, no, I don't put on any voices. I talk like this all the time. I'm definitely not trying very hard not to sound like Alex Jones.
Joel John, listen, do you watch, who do you think is into that conspiracy place that just might believe us? Somebody that when we bring them this evidence, they'll say, I knew it, and we can plug into their network.
If you ask me.
Yeah. Joel John.
Joel John.
Yeah. No. Boss, we have a real problem. I don't know how you can, solve it.
Yeah, who's the guy with the beard here?
My name is Shirt Justin. We have similar names, therefore creating an instant bond.
No relation.
Yeah, no relation. I'm great. It's great to have you on the team. Here's the other thing. Yeah. You stew on that. Think about who we would want to go talk to. Also, Professor Bindlestaff over there said that we need to look into who his roommate was in college.
College. It's the early days of JPL. I helped start it.
Why are you still here?
Is this a literal hobo with you guys?
Yes, it's a literal hobo. But
he's got the bindle stick and everything.
Yes.
Listen, I think you guys are off to a great start. I like the names that you're Jor-El John, Jor-El Justin, Jor-El Brian. I love the idea. That's a great start. You know, my roommate lived with me for a while when I first started the JPL. By the way, I didn't tell you my real name, but let's just say that JP might be in my name and who my roommate is might give you some ideas on how to start this organization. Wait, but that's irrelevant. That's just me talking.
Yeah, what?
What called is your name? I think, was it Jordan Peterson or something?
His name was Jet Propulsion. and I guess his roommate was Labs?
Laugh, funny boys. Anyhow, here's the thing. you are going to need more people in your team, particularly if you plan on taking over Death Hammer and using that to strike the Black Comet. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh my God. It sounds like we have a chance to stop the end of the world. Hey, real quick. What was your roommate name?
It's for you to find out. Damn, you need to know.
All right. Look, I immediately start running in the direction of the nearest public library. I was like, come on, guys, or Starbucks. I'll settle for either.
Here's what I can tell you, gentlemen. I've made certain choices in my life, certain packs, certain compacts, if you will, that have allowed me to live maybe longer than a man should. But because of this, I'm here to tell you and warn you now. You're welcome.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So you're a vampire. Cool. you've made a dark bargain that has led you to a mortal life, and now you stalk the streets. Looking for your fresh kills.
Yeah. Also, I snap photos of Professor Bindlestiff, and I immediately tweet out like, "Look at this guy who's down on his luck." LOL.
Wait a minute.
Tweet it publicly.
Wait. So you were?
Oh, you guys
JP.
Use Twitter? I'm a big Snapchat guy.
Oh, okay. All right. You got it. That's good. Jor-El
Jor. I'll tell you this: I'm 104 years old. People thought I died a long time ago, but that's a lie. I didn't really lose my job at JPL. I had another job under another name there because I like to stay around the place because, you know, I kind of help create it.
Are you Professor Richard Feynman? Are you Richard Feynman?
No, you moron. I'm not Richard Feynman.
Oh, wait a minute. Was Einstein? Your roommate the L we are looking for, L. Ron Hubbard? Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
It didn't work out between us. We had sort of a difference of opinions on certain matters.
Wait a minute. So your strategy to us is to build a religion for ourselves that then we can wield to take down a massive government conspiracy that could lead to the fiery death of the entire world by way of a black comet.
More or less, yes, that is the point I was trying to make. I guess I could have come right out and told you that.
I feel like we got there eventually.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Let's do it. Finally, the world will know the name of Jor-El Justin. Jor-El Brian.
All right. Thank you for the tips, boss. Jeez. All right. Listen, gentlemen, if the three of us are going to found a religion, it's
funny thing about me, though, is, you know, I'm known as Jack Parsons, which is actually the JP and JPL comes from. But my born name, the name I was born with, was Marvel Whiteside Parsons.
Wow.
Marvel, kind of cool, isn't it?
It is.
Like comic books? And the movies? Cinematic universe?
Maybe. Whiteside.
I don't know Whiteside.
That's a weird...
Why are you rolling up the window?
Wait,
I've got more.
Yeah, no, okay, all right, off we go. Look, I don't feel safe here next to the smoldering remains of this Del Taco.
What happened over there?
Oh, we need to steal another car. We had an accident.
Oh, yeah, this car is broken.
Yeah, well,
I can tell just by looking at it.
You know what? I've got AAA gold, so let me just see if they'll tow you up to 100 miles in anywhere. So let me just make that call.
And then we steal the tow truck.
Yeah, that works. Or we just try to convert him.
And then
him.
We have both cars.
Maybe he'll be our first. Here, I'm going to call AAA guys and see if we can get him on board.
I thought I was the first.
We've already had one success.
What's going on?
Glad. Listen, it's
I can leave. I can go.
I'm super thrilled.
You already became such a part of the family.
and in fact, you know, you get to keep up to 20% of all of the income of everybody you recruit underneath you.
Oh, this is smart. This is like multiple levels.
It is. It does work on multiple levels.
Okay, yeah.
So where do you want to go, Justin? Where do we go next?
Brian, we go to our Uber app and we go somewhere else so we're not just robbing a tow truck operator.
Okay, fine. I call up Uber and...
Hello, Uber. Very weird that you called us. What can we do for you?
I said I called up an Uber, not that I called them.
It's
on
like
the
when
phone.
You wait online.
Yeah.
Seriously, you called up not Uber. This is kind of weird.
I saw...
Hey, give him the hey, boss.
Hey, boss, we really need to get somewhere fast. Could you come pick us up?
I'm in Pasadena. Where are you at?
We're by. Do you remember that taco Del Taco back when?
Oh,
it was,
yeah, the Del Taco got blown up and they turned it into a Taco Bell like real fast.
Yes, correct.
But they were still blown up. It didn't really fix it.
That one went up in a grease fire.
Yeah, I know where that is. I'll come get. Okay, listen, I'm not married to this job, so yeah, I'll come pick you up.
Okay, great. Come on over. Quick.
I already know where you are because it's Uber.
Okay, that's great. Also, what's your name?
Oh, my name is.
Your new name is
George.
Kia Sportage. George.
George.
All right.
That's a simple name.
George, pick us up. We'll see you.
You're going to see a Lyft sign in my windshield. It's my girlfriend's car. Don't get too weirded out by that, okay?
All right, you got it. Done.
I had to do some Uber Fresh deliveries from Uber Eats deliveries. Sorry, confusing it with another delivery service. From a Burmese place, so it might smell like cinnamon sticky rice. Hope that's okay.
Ah, that's fantastic. Perfect.
Cinnamon in the rice now?
Could you bring some food, and then we'll eat? In fact, is there a Del Taco on the way?
Can we just have them in the food he's delivering?
Just soda.
Okay, all right. Just pick us up a soda, and then you're in for a real ride, George.
I can't wait because I'm a little bit aimless with what I want to do next in my life. Not that I'm, telling you that I'm open to suggestions.
Of all the things to do in your life, how would you like to save the planet? Would you like to feel the white hot thrill of that?
Yes. And should I bring my checkbook?
Yes, of course.
Yes, you do. In fact, your new name when you pay us will be Joral George. Congratulations, Joral George. You've taken your first step to a much wider world.
Oh,
I like the sound of that. All right, see you soon.
All right, we got Joral George. We got Joral Joe. Listen, it seems
Joral
to me.
John.
I'm John.
Joral John.
Oh, we still have room for a Joral Joe.
Okay, good. Okay, so it seems like a fast way to galvanize a community. And
hey, guys, I'm waving at you from across the street.
Okay, oh, here, fast. Hop in.
You must have been driving the whole time we were talking because it was a very long conversation.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Brian, let's go live on Twitch and make our first pronouncement.
Oh, do you stream?
Twitch.tv/
I've got a Wi-Fi transponder in my car if you want to use it.
Great.
Yeah, that's
all right. Here we go. Brian, you hold up the camera so we're both in it.
OK, got it.
Hi, everybody. I know that you've gotten used to us doing comedy. But no more.
Man. We have a new mission. It's called saving the freaking planet. Because we're not going to say exactly why, but we seem to think that this world might be about to end. And I know a lot of you guys know it in your hearts that we're 100% right. So listen up. We're going to need all of you to liquidate all your worldly.
You get a message below in the stream. Is this having to do with that rumor about a comet hitting Earth?
No, it doesn't, or does it? You can only answer these questions.
Does it? And is this your exact geolocation here? And there's a longitude.
No, it's not. We've spoofed the signal. Look, everybody, shame the perpetrators trying to silence us. We are trying to bring the truth.
Shame.
Also, Night Attack number one fan. All right.
Joral's unite!
Shame.
Twitter handles and Joral, whatever your name is. Shame.
Also, do us a favor. Everybody sell all your earthly possessions, convert it into currency, and PayPal it over to us immediately. It will really help us.
Joral.
Here's a comment. How do I know this isn't a scam?
It's not a scam because it's these two guys you trusted for a very long time.
So, well, I just met him today, but
100% perfect trust, our entire relationship. I've never once lied to you.
Okay, I'm ready to join, says somebody else. Where do I go? Is there like a compound where I can show up at?
You know what? I'm starting to think that maybe we got to do a journey from Southern California back to Austin, Texas, because we do have a bit
of We are making the pilgrimage, as are you, dear viewers. Leave your work. Leave your family. Bring your family. We're not trying to break your family.
Yeah, sell everything, though, and bring all your money to there's 7 acres out in West Austin.
Your Costco membership cards. We're going to need that.
Yes.
I like the Costco.
Don't tell anyone. Secrecy is paramount, okay?
Bring toilet paper.
That's right. Tell everyone that you're joining Herbalife and say you're going up to Oregon, but secretly sell everything and take your money and come back. Join us at the 7 Acre Schwood in West Austin.
Also, use my promo code JorElJohn7 for so I get a cut
of Herbalife. Yeah, that's fine. No, that'll be good. Yeah. In fact, you can tie it to the main account. Okay, look.
Hey, that's my level. You're on my money. Hey, you got your own level.
JorElJohn. We share everything now. That was creepy.
That was kind of creepy, but I liked it. I liked it.
Joral George to Austin or the airport. Probably to the airport. It's going to be a lot faster.
You know what? Actually, the bike shop, because I'm pretty sure that's going to be the best way for us to get to know.
Okay, Joral Satan.
All right, next time on Mission Quest, who answers the call? How many people show up to the compound? And literally, we want to know, if you're going to show up at the compound, send an email to...
Neshcom@gmail.com. It's in the show notes. Use subject line Mission Quest.
I'm in.
Great. Yeah.
Either one. It's fine. I'll read it all.
Well, it'll be interesting. Next week, we'll find out, guys, how many members do you have at the compound? This is going to play a very important part of where this is going to go. I have a feeling. I don't know, because these things are just happening.
Oh, I'm just smelling where this is going to go. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun.
All right. Picks?
Yeah, I got stumbled across the thought as we were talking about it. About the concept of gargoyles in the classic science fiction novel, Snow Crash. I think it's been at least a year or two since I mentioned it. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's at the time, it was fun to read Neal Stephenson's book, Snow Crash, because it was this wild prediction of a future that might be. Now it's fun to read it as how much of it he got right on the nose and how much of it, I'm not even going to say he got wrong, just hasn't happened yet. Like, it's amazing. Specifically, gargoyles are, you know, you roll your eyes, they're so dorky because they won't take off their gosh darn VR glasses because they won't disconnect from the constant stream of information all around them. And they're a little bit of social pariahs. And it's interesting.
One of the things I loved about Snow Crash and Neal Stephenson is that I don't think there's a science fiction author out there who understands the technology better than him or out there. Not to say I agree with everything he says, but, you know, when he wrote a book called In the Beginning Was the Command Line, which is a wonderful defense of why command lines are superior to the graphical user interface. I think he's wrong, but I love the fact that he wrote an entire essay about this. And when he gets into a subject, he dives deeply. So he's a guy that's been involved with tech companies. I think he may be working with Magic Leap or something, but he's a guy that's been working with tech companies and whatnot because he really does have a very good understanding of this. So when you read Snow Crash, it's not some sci-fi guy going, I think this is what it's going to be. He understands a lot. He's got involved in video game design, et cetera. So I think mad props to Stephenson and Snow Crash.
Hard sci-fi, as Party Down so eloquently stated it. Sorry to Bother You is a movie in theaters now. I think it is really, really good, and I am officially telling everybody to not read anything and go to the theater.
Just go out and watch it. Like, I think it caused, like, when they had that first trailer or teaser trailer come out, like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
It was like it had a little bit of a furor over it, or like a fervor. And that is as much as you should. Like, I think they've done a good job of making the trailers and stuff not spoil all of the really good stuff about Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah.
But
I will say this. It is a message movie. Boots Riley, the director and writer, is an activist. I think it's safe to say that politically probably falls in a place that neither of us would necessarily cotton to. But he avoids the two things that I generally don't like about, or not that I don't like about message movies. I think message movies can be important. But oftentimes, specifically for comedies, the message can get in the way of the jokes. That does not happen here. And you feel, because if it's a message movie, like if there's a movie about the school teacher who takes down the big villainous corrupt company or government, right? You know that it's either going to end with her doing it or her failing spectacularly and setting an example for wider change or something, right? You are never ahead of this movie.
Oh, that's
this
great.
Movie is always ahead of you. And I don't even want to say anything else. Everyone deserves to go see this flick. It is something special.
Awesome.
Bryce.
So last week or a week before, I was talking about how I'd really fallen into Grand Theft Auto Online. And I think I've fallen out of that cycle now in terms of just it being very repetitive. But I think I might have something that is replacing it, which is the video game Battletech. This is a revival of the Battletech / Mech Warrior / what are the other names for it? It's this huge tabletop and computer game series for decades now.
There have been so many different iterations, including there used to be like people would rent out giant chunks of the mall and you would get into a pod complete with a billion switches all around you that you'd have to arm up in the right sequence and everything.
But it's basically a future sci-fi mech story where this takes place. So this is made by Harebrained Schemes, which is the people who revived Shadowfall a few years ago for really well. And so this takes place in the periphery of the universe, an area about 500 light years out from Earth in all directions. And you are in charge of a pirate crew, so not even a pirate crew, just a band of mercenaries trying to pay off your large debts, very large debts. And you're taking contracts and trying to work your reputation between all these clans. And what's really interesting about it is that it's a mech tactics game, right? So it's turn-based, but you're dealing with things like initiative and part damage. And in that element, it's like really detailed for a tactics game, right? Like when I think of a tactics game, I think of like a lot of Japanese tactics games like Disgaea, where you have like a ton of hero characters and units, but they're all just kind of like very, very shallow, where here you have, you know, three or four people on a mission and, you know, you're taking care of like, oh, all of their arms and their legs and what's equipped to the arms and if the arms are breaking or they're damaged and stuff. It's really cool, and it does this great video at the very beginning of the game that like shows you a very brief history of the past like 700 years of game of lore of like, oh, here's the first jump ship that goes off between systems, and here's the first ruler of the inner sphere, and here's the uprising, and it all takes place in like a minute and a half, and it's really great.
So it's not tedious. You're not like and then the gnomes begat the dwarves begat.
It isn't tedious because even though there is depth to it, right? It's building in an empty space of all of the mech warrior lore.
Mm-hmm.
It does a really smart thing of when you're reading text and you're setting up your character, it'll give you words in orange. And if you highlight over the words, it'll tell you what those things are. So like, oh, the inner sphere. What's the inner sphere? Oh, well, that's the space from Earth to 500 light years and five factions control it. And these are the factions. And it's full of tooltips like that where you are like doing just very direct diving into the lore while also just exploring this new space that is a little bit disconnected from the larger lore. So I think it's really cool and it's really fun to play. I'm only like 5 hours or so into it, but I've fallen head over heels for it. So that's Battletech.
Nice.
My pick. So back when MoviePass came out and then like lowered the price and I got all the PR, I signed up for MoviePass. I'm like, great. I'm going to take advantage of this company's financing round and use that to pay for my movie going experience with the expectation that MoviePass would ultimately probably come to an end. And if you follow the press on MoviePass, not encouraging. And personally, as a user, I got a notification like 2 months ago, like, hey, by the way, you've been chosen for a beta program where you got to take a photo of every ticket. And if you don't take a photo of your ticket, then we're going to, you know, cancel your membership, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Oh, Mike, Jesus.
I just got that today, but they've been rolling that out for the past few months.
Yeah, I got it in May. So, and I'm like, oh, thanks, MoviePass. That's great. Yeah. And then now they just announced, hey, surge pricing, you know, like, hey, if you want to see this movie, we're going to have to charge a little surcharge. And I went to see like this weekend, like, yeah, every movie I want to see on a Sunday afternoon has surge pricing. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a model that, like, you know, we're like, we have no idea how this thing could work. I don't think they knew how it was going to work either. But that being said, you know, I've seen some movies on it. I think I probably got my money's worth out of it. AMC fought MoviePass, like, was really, really hostile towards MoviePass. And the best explanation was that AMC Theaters was going to come out with their own competing product. They didn't want, you know, to deal with that. And part of the problem MoviePass, too, is there really are no theaters. You can order tickets advance. You got to show up on the day and show up like an hour before and get your ticket. AMC unveiled their plan, which, listen, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I don't like going to the movies. Like, I like to go see something sooner and sometimes on a big screen. I don't like going into dirty theaters, which maybe AMC's frequently has dirty movie theaters. I don't like the fact that, hey, there are two lines, you know, wait in this longer line to pay a lot of money, you know, for overpriced stuff, but go over here and you get treated better, which I think is ridiculous. And I think it's one of the reasons why movie theaters are suffering. I understand you need to make money. I get that. But the ways in which they do it and creating these sort of categories, blah, 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 I find personally frustrating, you know. And then you walk into a movie, you sit down, and the person next to you pulls out their phone, and you're like, I should have just waited for video, because then I can yell at everybody who takes out a phone and watches, yeah, you know, plays their phone while I watch it. Mm. That being said, AMC unveiled A-List, which is their competing product to MoviePass. It's $20 and $19.95 a month, which is more than MoviePass, twice as much, but it's $20 a month. You get three movies a week. Any movie, right? There is no surge pricing, and you can order your movies in advance, right?
So and you can do three movies a week. Rewatch movies. There's no,
what's that?
You can rewatch movies.
Yeah, you can rewatch. You know, MoviePass doesn't let you do that. And I found that I had MoviePass, but I was still buying tickets because I want to make sure I'm going to go see this showing Friday. I want to make sure I have good seats for this. And I was using MoviePass for like the fall off, whatever. I'll just go show up, whatever. So despite my hesitations and my frustrations, sign up for the A-List, saw two movies this weekend. It was, you know, $20. I was able to see Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, saw Ant-Man and Wasp, ordered my tickets well in advance, got my seats that I liked, was able to do that. And because I signed up for A-List, I get to go into that on the line now. And I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, man. If I had an AMC near me that I really liked, I would probably move to this over MoviePass. But I think I'm kind of wait out MoviePass until it sort of fizzles out, because there's a Regal that I like, and Regal doesn't have a competing product yet.
Yeah, and so for me, like my problem with MoviePass is, like, I've used MoviePass. It's simple. Well, it's simple, but it's unnecessarily complex too. The fact that MoviePass, I can't 5 hours from now, I have to be at the theater to order my tickets, and I like reserve seating. I like to sit in specific spots. Can't do that, you know. They have like, oh, some select theaters allow you to do this. Like, I've never heard of these theater chains that say you can do this. Point is, that's the limitation on MoviePass, is you kind of got to show up and hope you get a good seat. I'd rather pay for the convenience of a better seat. So that's the trade-off, is it's $20 instead of $10 a month. I get to get my seat in advance. I get to do that. And so I'm switching. You know, I'll probably cancel my MoviePass thing because the deal keeps getting worse and worse. And I understand why. I get why, what have you. But I live in an area where it is filled with AMC theaters. In one block in Burbank, there are three different AMC theaters.
Whoa.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Yeah. So that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you live in an area with a lot of AMC theaters, I would say, what's the choice? There's a trade-off. MoviePass, hey, it's only $10. But have to be there, can't do in advance, ... AMC's MoviePass is you can book your seats in advance, whatever. I was able to put two of them on one credit card account, so they don't have a family one yet, so it's a pain in the butt if you got to buy multiple tickets. But anyhow,
yeah,
that's my point. So far, A-List. Been happy with it.
And we reported on Chord Killers, chordkillers.com, a couple of weeks back that Alamo is testing out a similar thing in New York for like unlimited, what an unlimited thing might look like for them. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Regal or any of the other larger chains do something like this. I bet they would love you to become like brand loyal to the theater, you know? They would love that.
Which we talked about this. In fact, I think that's one of the bunch of the emails is I postulated that I think a lot of people tend to have a favorite theater and not want to hop around a lot.
Yeah, like yeah. I think here in Austin, before I got the movie pass, I would only go to Alamo's, but even then, I was still bouncing between Alamo's because they have limited screens and limited showings and stuff. But you know, when you have all theaters and you can go kind of anytime you want when the theater's not busy, you can kind of just go see whatever.
Yeah.
I have my preferred seat in my preferred theater, my preferred place to go see stuff. But I found out that the AMC by me, they have the there was a smaller one I never went to. It's like in the basement of a mall. It's all recliner seats.
Oh wow, that's nice.
Yeah, so they're all recliner seats. And I'm like, oh, I've seen there's much smaller theaters, but I've seen the last couple movies there. It was, you know, great other than annoying people in the theater, but. So, yeah. Anyhow, that's my pick. Hey, everybody. It's been weird.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.